Morning, boys and girls. Planes, trains, people in automobiles. I mean, if you're hiking down the backwoods path and you happen to come up on a hot spot, you're having to listen to this program while you're standing after scaling a mountain and you're standing on top of the mountain going, gee, I wonder what the fishing's like in Southwest Florida. Well, you lucky devil, you're on your mountaintop all by yourself, all sweaty, nasty, covered in grit, wondering about the fishing in Southwest Florida. Well, Fishing Frank's here with Captain Austin and Robert, and we are going to do the Area Fishing Report. And with Austin, Robert, me, this fishing report is going to... we're ready to go.
It's going to be that good, huh?
Okay. Are you guys ready?
As ready as we're going to be after that introduction. Yep. Absolutely.
Can't get no worse.
Hey, we're starting out on a high note, right?
Not a bad thing.
Yes. All right. We've got... I think right now fishing's as mixed up, messed up of a configuration as you could possibly want to think of.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Two guys do phenomenal, two guys go, well, I'm having a rough time, and then five guys did like their fish of a lifetime. It's all over the map.
Yeah, one person comes back, the fishing's horrible, it's just never going to happen. Another guy catches the fish he's waited his whole life for, and then you've got other people that but I'm going to go along with a lot of moving.
Now, yes,
Austin,
absolutely.
I think, how long would you fish a spot?
30 minutes, give or take, unless I seen something there that made me want to stay there.
Yeah, Robert?
I would say about 30 minutes is the max I'm going to give it. You know, if I'm from shore, 30 minutes is a max. If I'm in a boat, probably still 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, maybe 40 minutes. But because I always figure by the time I set down the boat, sometimes they'll hit right away, but sometimes it takes 10 or 15 minutes for things to calm down after you got
right
there. So from land, I'm going to go out and appear. I'm not setting up a mailbox. I'm just going to, you know, I don't need to receive mail.
Minimalize.
Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'll spend a half an hour on that pier, seeing if I can get anything. Maybe a half hour fishing one part of the pier, half hour fishing another. But if I don't hit anything, I'm off to the next spot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And then with a boat, I usually give it about 40 minutes in a boat, giving that extra 10 for setting the boat into the place, unless you're really sneaky coming up into it.
Right.
Yeah, I like to feel confident when I'm done that there wasn't much there or they're really not eating. I don't like to leave with the thought that if I'd have stuck around 10 more minutes, I'd have done better.
That has cost me hours.
Me too. But it's also paid off.
I'm sitting yeah there, and I can always tell when somebody had a good day fishing. Not a great day or a bad day, but a good day. Because they'll say, oh, yeah, we're going to go out for about 4 hours. And about 4 hours later, they come back. If it's a really bad day, that 4 hours is going to turn to 6, 8, 10 hours. Because
right
they haven't caught a fish, and they're just bound and determined. Oh, it's going to start any time now.
Yep.
And if they're catching a lot of fish, and they're really having a ball, they're an extra hour or two. But
yeah,
when people go out, and, you know, you catch a reasonable amount of fish, and, okay, yeah, well, let's head back in. Not too good, not too bad.
Right.
But when it's really bad, that's when you're out the longest.
Yeah.
It's
one extreme to the other.
But it's funny. The times I don't catch anything and I'm just having the worst day not catching fish, I'm out on the water longer. And then the second length of time would be if I'm catching an extraordinary amount of fish. I'll be out a little longer than normal. But when I go out and I just have a nice day, decent day, and I've caught some fish here and there in the next place, not really good, not really bad, just a decent day, that's when I can actually go, okay, I'm going to fish for 4 hours and go home, and I'll actually go home.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually home now, on time, and nobody's upset with you for being late.
Right. Now, Austin, what is it with you? Is that...
I don't know. I've did a lot of times to where the fish won't eat on one tide, and I'll wait it out till the next, and sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. I've also had a lot of fishless, sleepless nights because of it, but...
But when you go out fishing, what when is it that you're out the longest? Let's say you were going to go out for 4 hours, and I'm just going to go out for 4 hours. When does four hours turn into eight plus?
When I don't catch much.
When you don't catch much.
Yep.
So the same page?
Yep.
Now, Robert, how about you?
I'm with you on that. I've had many of those nights where it's like, yeah, I'm going to go out for 4 or 5 hours, and then 10 hours later, you're like, oh.
I'm pretty content with one good fish.
That's a rough marathon.
But if you go out and you're going to go out for 4 hours, and let's say you caught 10 fish or something like that, you could actually leave and go home because the fishing isn't that great, but you caught your fish.
Yeah, I've also gone out, say I was going for 4 hours, fish for an hour and a half, catch a couple good fish, and I'm good. I'm content.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yep. You can actually make it home. But I've gone out and had where the fishing's really good, and one day turned into overnight into most of the next day.
Yeah,
slept
that's
right
a
on
marathon.
That boat. Just
that's what happens when your friend drives you fishing, not you.
Well, I used to have a couple guys I fished with a lot, and we'd get out there, we'd be catching a lot of fish, and I always told Terry, I said, you know, if you don't hear from me, I'm fine. If you hear from me, there's a problem. You know, if you don't hear from me, I'll be fine. If I'm not home today or tonight, I'll be home tomorrow.
I'll be back between now and Thursday.
Yeah, I'll be back between now and late Thursday. So just, I'm good. And it always worked out good. And then cell phones came along. And it's like if you're not calling all the time, okay, I'm going to be late. I'm going to be
right.
You know, whatever. Everybody gets worried. I spent most of my life going, well, if you don't hear from me, everything's good.
Right, exactly.
It's just strange how things worked out. Okay, get up on the Peace River. What's going on up in the Peace River?
Peace River, all I'm hearing about, honestly, is a few juvenile tarpon between the power lines and the navigator, and a lot of gars starting to move around. I have not heard any accurate reports of, you know, Shell Creek or right
well,
immediately.
I've actually fished Shell Creek at the trestle and stuff, and there is snook there and a few snappers. Couple of catfish.
Well, there you go. I know you were out last week playing around a little bit, so that's a good thing. At least I know your report's accurate.
Yeah.
Some of the guys, it's like, yeah, I did great. And you're like, his buddy's kind of standing behind him, shaking his head, like, no, I'm not going to count 27 catfish.
You know? I would say the strangest part about being up there was watching that school of fish blow up. I thought they were jacks. Cast into them and catch a snook out of it.
They're really?
Literally hitting like jacks.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, literally. And these were, let's say, 18 to 24 inch snook. And just a whole wad of them just blowing the water up.
Well, that would have been pretty neat to just see, just to, you know, because that is normal for jacks, but for snook, that's pretty unusual.
Literally, when I went over there, I fully expected a school of jacks, and it was snook. There was no jacks there. I could see the water between them and me, and I was back far enough to cast into them, you know, but I saw fish come by the boat, and they were snook. The fish we caught were snook.
Wow.
So, you ever see that, Austin?
Actually, I got a pretty neat story about that. I was fishing a spot in Punta Gorda Isles, and it was actually about a year ago, like right out a year ago now, and it was a real big bowl canal, and it's really, really deep. One side's mangroves, the other side's condos and docks. And we were fishing there for probably 10 or 15 minutes already, and this water just started erupting like a big, big, big area. I would say a 30 to 40 yard circle, just fish blowing up all over. We ran over there, threw into it. I hooked a tarpon, Matt hooked a snook, and we sat there and hooked a tarpon and snook every cast for like 45 minutes. Snook from 22 to like 35 inches, and every time we would catch a fish out of it, a half a dozen or so fish would follow it in. We'd have tarpon follow our snook in, and you could literally touch them. They were so close. It was the weirdest thing ever, and we caught one jack out of the bunch, but probably, without exaggeration, 15 to 20 snook and hooked at least 8 to 10 tarpon.
Yeah, and it's just not what you expect.
No, we even had a redfish follow a snook in.
That's weird.
It was the weirdest thing ever. I had it all on video, too, of them, of schools of fish, even snook, some of them 36, 38 inches, following in our fish and just hanging out there with them. And you can throw down another rod and hook up right away. They didn't care what it was or anything.
Those are the days when it's great. And
yeah,
and then they shut off and nothing after that. Nothing. You couldn't buy a hit after they quit blowing up like that.
And that's the strangest thing. You know, when we redid the Shiner tanks, I put the goldfish in there to see if the water was going to live, because I didn't want to order a big batch of Shiners, put them in there, watch them die again. I was losing thousands of dollars with this. So we went down, we bought a, you know, two dozen goldfish and threw them in the thing. And what I'm seeing is fish grow at different lengths. They get fed the same. They're in the same environment. Some are still small. Some are four times the size of the other ones. And I've heard that with snook, too. Some of the snook literally make the slot limit in less than 2 years. Other ones, it could take 3 or 4 years to make that. And watching the different ways they feed, how hard they feed, you know, everything else about it, it's a neat little insight, because there's 13 or 14 of them in there. So you're literally getting to see in this little school of fish and how it all works.
Mm-hmm. Getting to witness it firsthand is always eye-opening.
Yeah.
Because you can read it all you want, but when you actually witness it firsthand, it's pretty good.
Dwayne French had that. He, in the corner of his lanai, dug down about 5 feet and put in a pond in the corner of his lanai. But it was very, very deep. And then he had different structure and everything up. And he would use that to tell how the bite was going to be. If they were all hugging down on the bottom, it wasn't going to be a good day. If they were all up, kind of scattered through the water, it was going to be a pretty decent day. If he walked out there and they all popped right up to the top, it was going to be a good day of fishing.
Right, I remember that.
And he used to use that fish pond in his lanai to figure out, but it can't be a couple of feet deep. I mean, he literally had, what, 6-8 feet in depth on that. I don't know what it was. It was deep.
Yeah, I think it was 6 feet, because, I mean, it had pretty good depth to it.
But it was getting that extra depth told you how the fish were reacting to the atmospheric pressure, static electricity in the air, everything, and good days of feeding, bad days of feeding.
Yeah.
He would just, it was a really good way to cheat on the way out, knowing, okay, I can go shallower, I got to go deep. If I'm not going deep, I'm not catching fish, because all these fish are hugging that bottom down there. Mm-hmm. So you know the fish aren't going to be doing much on the flats. You know you got to get out in the middle and find some fish somewhere out there.
Yeah.
But coming back up to the area fishing report, which is what we're supposed to be doing, is the 41 bridges.
Well, between the 41 bridge and the 75 bridge, there has been quite a couple of numbers of schools of jacks and a handful of small bull sharks. And as you get closer to the 41 bridge, there's been some juvenile tarpon, catch and release snook. I've heard of a couple, not number-wise, but a little bit better quality whiting, and a couple of black drum. I haven't heard of any trout or any redfish this week off of there, but, you know, it's been kind of a mixed barrage.
Anything from you, Austin?
Robert pretty much got it. I mean, definitely some small bull sharks around, some juvenile tarpon and jacks, but there's also been a couple people catching some cobia, even around 75. I've had at least 5 or so, and they've all been big ones that people said they caught and had pictures of, like 30, 40 pounders.
Good size. Up closer to I-75?
Yeah, closer to I-75. A couple around the bridge, but the weird thing is getting them up by I-75.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not too normal.
No.
Especially right now, so.
Exactly. And the guys, you know, like, I haven't heard anything about much for whiting up there around the 75 bridge, and that's usually what kind of draws those cobia in, it seems like.
There's a bunch of snapper, there's a bunch of everything down there. You drop a bait down, now he feels peck, 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 peck. Yeah. I mean, it's like a little machine gun hits your bait, and it's just boom, boom, boom. And, I mean, to the point we had to take off the split shots and go to slip sinkers, because by the time you felt the bite with them moving the split shots, they were already done. So with the slip sinker, not fixing the weight in place, but allowing the line to slide through it, you actually could feel the bite when it started and you stood a chance.
Gotcha.
So what are we going to call for Lashley Pier?
Lashley Pier has been a little slow these last few days. The only thing I've heard about has been a couple snook at night and a couple of mangrove snapper. But overall, no real consistent reports from during the daytime. And I just think it's because of the warm weather. You know, all these fish are on the move, so you get 3 or 4 days of good reports, and then you get 3 or 4 days of bad reports.
Yeah, I mean, up here in this part of the harbor this time of year, I don't really like it unless you're targeting sharks or small tarpon are really, and some snook, right. But it's not.
Well, speaking
of that,
is Bayshore lightening up or getting better, or getting worse at Bayshore?
A few sharks over there. Some people hooking an oddball tarpon here and there, shark fishing, and an oddball cobia here and there, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's mostly been baby bull sharks.
Yeah.
You know, that's been the majority of what I've been hearing about.
Okay. That's going to take us over into the Port Charlotte Canal system. What's going on in the Port Charlotte Canals?
There's some tarpon around East Spring Lake, a couple of the mouths of the canals in Port Charlotte, but they're real spotty fish. They're not rolling consistently. They're kind of staying down, so it's hard to actually see them or come across them unless it's first thing in the morning or in the evening. Edgewater Lake's got some tarpon in it, too, and a few black drum.
There's also been a handful of snook and jacks right at the mouths of the canals that have been there fairly consistently. Especially like the Elk Ham and then all that whole basin behind the beach complex there. Guys have been catching some fish while they're trolling little lures on their way in or out and catching them that way more than anything else. Not a lot of guys are actually anchoring up and fishing it hard. They're just kind of taking their time going from point A to point B, which is nice to see once in a while. So most of those guys just want to go straight ahead and haul butt there and back.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people are learning that by trolling in the canals, they might actually find the fish they were thinking about driving across the harbor for.
Exactly.
So let's pop all the way out to the Elgin Pier.
The snook fishing's been all right out there, catching at least snook. Some bigger ones on the bottom side if you're fishing like a big bait, a big ladyfish, or a big mullet or something. Some guys been getting some nice like 15 to 20 pound snook and some tarpon at nighttime. Daytime bite over there just hasn't been that good.
No, it's been a real early morning bite or nighttime bite. Those tarpon have been in, you know, the juvenile tarpon from, say, 10 to 50 pounders have been there first thing in the morning right at first light, but then they disappear. Hearing of a couple of them at night. I've heard of a couple of bigger trout that guys have been catching at night too, but I have not heard of much during the daytime there. You know, so it's that time like we're talking about. It's very off the wall.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice of options here. Austin, you want the Mac Cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, Tippy Canoe Bay, the 14-foot hole, or what?
Cattle Dock is good. I mean, there's some smaller redfish on that end and occasional bigger fish. Redfish, a lot of times you'll get into those smaller, like 18, 19-inchers around Cattle Dock area. Okay. And you'll be fishing for them and end up catching one nice redfish, normally an oversized one, the big one that swims with them. But other than that, not too much over there. Some smaller sharks on the outside of the bar there, but the smaller sharks seem to be pretty abundant in the harbor right now, the smaller bulls.
Just not too many black tips moving up on this end yet, or the black nose?
You know, actually, we caught two black tips inside Trout Creek the other day and seen a couple others, as weird as that is.
No, that's not too terribly surprising.
No.
But I just haven't heard of good numbers of them up here on this end yet, but I expect that to happen any day now, because...
Well, I'm going to take people out shark fishing tomorrow, so I'll let you know. Because, you know, they're all excited because, you know...
Take them out to Boca Grande Pass.
They're relatives, not in that boat. I'm taking a beach cat out.
Gotcha.
And my mom doesn't like, you know, the spray, so it's 14 mile an hour boat. It'll do over 20, but when you got the people at it, you know, my parents and all that, it's a 14 mile an hour boat. You know, and my cousin is coming into town, so I get to take him out shark fishing.
Yippee!
And I love shark fishing, and it's very enjoyable taking family out and doing all that. But I haven't been shark fishing for 3 months. And I can't get any kind of reports as to where they're at.
What were you doing shark fishing 3 months ago? There were some.
I've caught a shark.
He's experimenting.
I caught a shark a few months ago. But
you weren't expecting that one, were you?
I wasn't expecting it. But I mean, really this season I really haven't been out shark fishing yet. I mean, I get to hear about it, but I actually haven't done it. And I know my good shark spots. Now, do I go with Old Faithful, places I'm sure, that I knew in years past were going to be good, or am I going to have to randomize and try something off the wall? I'm thinking I'm going to end up having to go shallow.
That's probably going to be my bet.
I mean, shallow is in like
3-4 feet of water.
4 feet, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I usually fish 14 plus feet of water for the sharks during the day. But most of the stuff I'm hearing about is 4 feet or less.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm beginning to, you know, I'm trying to formulate plan B. You know, when you go out and you're fishing, Frank, you can't always rely on plan A. You know, you still got to save face, you know.
B, C, and D lined up.
Yeah, and if I could figure out Q at this point, I'd have it in the bag too, but I don't know what. So anyway, South Gulf Cove canals, anybody heard anything?
A couple guys have been catching some bluegill and Mayan cichlids up in there, but that's the only report I've had.
Yeah, I haven't heard nothing up there.
I think it's gotten pretty quiet because it's getting so, you know, it's gotten so hot so quick. It's not even warm so quick.
Yeah, things did get.
Plus the drought that's going on up there. I think some of those guys, some of their fishing holes are getting a little on the skinny side.
I had a woman come in today. She lives over off the Port Charlotte canals. I didn't ask her which one, but she says it's about 4 feet low.
Right.
She says it's even from where her dock is, the water's out to the end of the piling, at the end pilings of her dock.
Driving by Kings Highway Ponds today, there's a couple spots that looks like I could actually walk across and probably not get more than my ankles wet.
Yeah,
and muck.
And chest high
not
deep,
even,
right?
Not in even mud. Wet, just muck. Man, it looks pretty dry in some of those spots along there.
Yeah, but I keep fall back. I was praying for a drought last fall.
Exactly. Yes, you were.
I was hoping for the drought. I figured it was highly possible with the way the weather patterns were going that we were going to go into drought conditions, and it's done everything that I hoped it would.
We needed it.
The harbor's cleaner. We got tons of dead stuff floating out of the harbor. Everything, it's a mess, but it's the final cleanup.
Right.
So if the rains will start at next month in June and be a normal rainy season, this puts the harbor back into viable, livable, good,
much
low bacteria,
healthier conditions.
Yeah, low bacteria, low noxious plants, everything will be, it's going to be great. Now, if the rains don't start, then we're looking at, you know, it'll be good through the summer, but if we don't get rains by next winter, we're going to be in trouble.
Right. Yeah, we'll have some serious issues.
So, looking at the west wall, what's going on the west wall?
West wall on the outside edge of the flat there, and about that 4 to 6 feet of water, there's been quite a few single and double cobia cruising along it, and tarpon also kind of mixed in with them. There's been what you're looking for is either them by themselves cruising, or you're looking for that manatee or regular stingray cruising along, and it seems to have either one of those fish following it. A guy was in here yesterday who's been fly fishing over there quite a bit because the water's so clear. And he said it's been surprising to him how many tarpon he's been seeing following manatees and stingrays over there.
Is that south of the halfway point?
Yeah, right just above the halfway point to below the tower. He's
gotcha.
Been sitting there for the last couple weeks and doing well. He'd rather sit there for 6 hours and wait for a few fish to come by and cast to him than go out there and try to chase stuff around. And he's been doing pretty well.
There's nothing like sight casting a fish like that either.
And then the redfish and the snook are still doing fairly well from the halfway point. You know, the radio tower is what I consider the halfway point.
Yeah.
To down towards Muddy Bay, there's just been snook. You know, they're starting to thin out compared to what they were 2 weeks ago, but there's still quite a few residual schools of them moving along, heading south. And then the redfish are just kind of peppered all along underneath the bushes and a little bit on the outer edge of it. Most of the guys that are catching those are catching them on the shrimp. Cut ladyfish has been working very well, and a lot of guys have been throwing the those little johns still and doing fairly well as far as artificials go over there.
Guys showing me nice pictures of redfish on that new storm bait, or new, not storm, live target.
Oh, the new soft plastic?
Yeah. I've been kind of wondering, and it could be a flash in the pan, it could be a real staple in the fishing business, that new one. So we're going to have to see. That's going to be questionable on how long the hits are going to last on that. but they stole that tail off the egret bait, and that side-to-side action seems to be making a difference at this point over the paddle tail.
It's pretty impressive how it swims.
So I'm really kind of looking forward to watching the progression of that one, and is it going to be a flash in the pan, or is it going to become, this is, you got to put one of these in your box lure.
Yeah.
And really people think, oh, well, I caught all these fish on it. But a lot of times with a new lure, you've got a year and a half window on it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it just goes away and fish don't eat it anymore. So this is going to be curious to find out what happens with that. Let's start talking Cape Hayes. What's going on Cape Hayes, Austin?
Cape Hayes, right on the corner, right as you come around the corner on Cape Hayes, that real, real deep corner right on the bushes, in between the sandbar and the bushes, gets like 10 foot deep. That can be a real good spot to hit first thing in the morning, or my favorite in the afternoon after the boat traffic kind of slows down, because you can't anchor up.
What are you looking for there?
Snook, a lot. That's where you catch a big snook at. Normally I like to throw down like a whole mullet or a head of a mullet down there, and a lot of times you'll even catch a big redfish in there. I mean, a big redfish, a 30-pound redfish, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to catch a tarpon, a cobia, or a shark there. You can't anchor up right in the middle of it because that's where a lot of boats run, but you can actually anchor up at the shore and cast out, and that's a really good spot. But you're going to need at least a couple ounces of lead if the current's moving.
Okay, Robert, what are you thinking about there at Cape Hayes? Any ideas?
Honestly, with the way it's been water temperature-wise, I'm going to stay on the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes in that deeper trough where it drops off. I've been hearing some mixed reports of some ladyfish, some Spanish mackerel, incidental tarpon, a couple small sharks, even a handful of bigger trout have been being caught off of there. So I think for some reason, because of that warm water conditions, those fish are staying where they got some deeper water, cooler water access. Plus there's been so much fry down there from what I've been hearing. There's been little glass minnows and even some threadies moving through that area. I think that's might be the other reason why those fish are hanging along that spot.
Well, I've got a thing coming from my boat, so it won't be on the trailer anymore. We'll be able to get on it and actually go.
That'll be nice.
And I decided against a lift. I'm not going to talk about what I'm getting yet, but get it out there and see if it works. Or it's either, I think it's either going to be great or it's really going to suck.
Right.
One or the other. I mean,
yeah, I don't think there's going to be an in-between with it.
Yeah, this is either going to be great, I'm going to love it, or this is a huge waste of money. So we'll see what happens, but what a weird story. I will tell you guys the whole story about me and my adventures with this stupid thing I'm buying, which could be a brilliant thing. I don't know. I'm going to find out. So that I either wasted a whole bunch of money or did really, really good and have a very smart thing. Bull and Turtle Bay. Austin, you've got great reports for the outside of that, and inside, you were just there. What's going on? Give us a...
We've seen actually a couple tarpon rolling right as you get inside the idle zone markers, right on the outside edge of the bar, about 6 feet of water, a couple of them around 80, 90-pound tarpon roll. As you go in straight, there's an oyster bar in there. You'll see it sticking out of the water. It's marked and everything. Around that, there's some trout, but a lot of smaller ones, a lot of 6 to 14, 15-inch trout. And I'm sure there are some bigger ones over there. We didn't fish it a whole lot, but I've done really well there on bigger ones in the past when the smaller ones are there.
Now, there's been a bunch of snook on the outside.
Mm-hmm. In between the outside of the bar of Turtle Bay, all the way down in front of Gallagher's Point or Gallagher's Cut, all the way down to Bull Bay, you'll see that bar. It's pretty noticeable, but right where the sand meets the grass, there's scattered snook all up and down that bar, and a handful of pretty good sized ones and a lot of small ones. And they're not really in one spot more than another. It's like one here, one there, one here, one there. If you like throwing artificial, it'd be a really good thing to work that whole bar with artificial. I think you'd do pretty well.
That's a place I would really like to take that new life target, the one that looks like the greenback, and then take the storm twitch and make, you know, one guy with the toss them and reel them.
Have a little contest to see which one produces better.
How they did side to side.
Right.
$10 versus $6.50. You know, simple versus, you know, really intricate, you know.
The only problem you might have with the Storm Twitch is the grass out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be unhooking grass quite often.
I could always swap out the back one for a
single.
Single. Still got to leave the front treble on it.
Yeah.
But all right, anything going on inside Bow Bay itself?
Inside Bull Bay, there's not a whole lot. There's some redfish to be caught in there. A bunch of snook, but a lot of smaller snook on any of the deeper walls. The big sand holes that are deeper, like deeper as in 4 feet or so. And any peninsulas you come across that are pretty deep where the current flows around it, you should be able to find snook in there.
And they are all catch and release this time of year, even if they are smaller.
Yep.
You know, there's been some fish in there. I've been hearing of some 40-inch fish cruising with a lot of those little buck snook that are in there.
Yeah.
You know, the water's so high salinity that they haven't really had a reason to leave yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, swinging out to Capay's Reef, not far away. Any action out there?
Little on the quiet side, to be honest. I've heard of a few mangrove snapper and a couple Spanish mackerel. And then a couple of small sharks, but relatively speaking, it's been pretty quiet.
I've just heard Spanish mackerel out there myself.
I mean, I would expect those smaller sharks to move in there in better numbers around it. With some of that fry that's there, you figure there's got to be a pretty good variety of a food chain going on. But that couple hundred yards between Cape Hayes and the reef itself is can be night and day.
Oh, yeah. Well, deep open water and a lot of those, the concrete they dump down there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this when they do that, they need to allot money for a couple of divers and actually have some type of crane or rig on the barge.
Right.
So that can be lowered into place, not just pushed off the side of
right.
the boat. And that way you could build like log cabin structures out of them, which would actually be beneficial for years. It would take years for the sand and silt to fill that up. You know, big hollow concrete pipes laid in a Lincoln log type thing. You
right.
know what I mean? And that would be extraordinary habitat, extraordinary fishing for decades. And
right.
when they just push them over on the side of the boat, one end digs into the dirt, then the sand starts filling in, and pretty soon the sand fills up on one side of them and they become part of the bottom, not actual reef structure anymore.
Right. And you're seeing that a lot out there too now, because it seems like the main brunt of the structure that's left is literally dead center between the two markers anymore.
What would be neat to do is if you could get a couple of those lift bags like they used to bring boats up.
Oh, yeah.
And go down there with a couple of divers, run a cable through them, you know, with some hooks, put some flotation bags on so you could lift them up and just go down there and start stacking them.
Yeah. You that know, would be pretty cool.
I just thought of that would be a really safe, interesting way, because running a cable all the way through them, hooked to both ends, and then just make them buoyant enough, not where they're going to float, but where you could just lift them up, slide them over, and drop them down. And a couple of divers could do.
Oh, they could move a whole lot in a little bit of time.
Yeah, if you were down there for, say, 4 hours. You know, once you kind of got in the swing of things, first day you wouldn't get much done. But if you did it for 4 or 5 days, you could get a lot done with that.
And absolutely.
Man, that would be really cool. Building, you know, actually being able to go down there and build structures.
Have nice relief with all sorts of hiding places. Yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Most of those pipes are oval-shaped, so if you came in 4 feet from the ends to make your
stack.
If they're 20 feet long, just make your marks as 16 feet and start your stacks in at 16 feet. They wouldn't roll off. It would be solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Definitely.
That would really be a cool thing to try.
Yeah, because you got not only the hollow tubes, but then you got the space in between them. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It would be something. I wonder, I'll talk to Betty about that and see if there's any law against it.
Yeah, I don't think there would be. I think it's all a matter of just having enough relief from the top of the water to the top of the structure.
Yeah, as long
that's
as
all
we
their
were
regulations in. Are, as far as I know.
But I can talk to Jim, who owns the dive shop, and see if we can get some divers there and maybe some lift bags. Because
right.
all it takes is an extra tank of air, and it doesn't even have to be breathable air.
Right.
You know? So that might be something interesting to try. And if we could successfully do that, they could expand that all around, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's definitely a lot of potential there with that.
What do you think, Austin? Pipe dreaming, or?
I think it'd be a good idea. I mean, I don't know how much work it'd be. I don't know how well. I don't know that structure down there that well.
You need a stick longer than the pipes to put one end of the hook on and hook it onto the bag at the other end.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't. You wouldn't want to try and clamp them to the ends of the pipe because that would mean that it could pull
break,
off.
Yeah.
Or the hooks could slip or something. But if you had a cable going to both bags and you filled the lift bags, and as soon as it started coming up, you just fill the other end and, you know, just back and forth. You could actually accomplish that. It wouldn't be that hard.
I think you could, too.
All right. Gasparilla Sound, start Kaopalu going over, you know, towards Whidden and Catfish and all that. Any reports back in there?
A lot of mixed up stuff. I mean, there's a ton of catch and release snook scattered throughout there from basically Devilfish all the way up to Catfish Creek, all on the outer perimeters of the mangrove shoreline. And then I've been getting some mixed reports of some redfish in the same vicinities, but even a few redfish scattered out on those grass flats there, basically what I would call Whidden Bay. And then there's been quite a few trout and ladyfish mixed in there too, so even if you don't want to try to target the redfish or snook, you can still stay pretty consistent bending a rod on those ladyfish and trout that are out there. You know, and they're primarily hitting little paddle tails and curl tail grubs. You know, or you can just throw some plain old shrimp under a popping cork, set it up at about 2 feet of 2 feet of depth, because you're staying in that 2 to 3 feet of water range.
All right, awesome. What's your take on that area?
The snook fishing in that area just really good right now. There's a lot of snook, and a lot of them are pushing up to this part of the harbor and towards the beaches to spawn. But there's a lot of peanut snook and a lot of good sized ones in there too. I mean, all through Whidden Creek, through Catfish Creek, around Devilfish, there's just a ton of snook. The red fishing, from what I've been seeing, has just been kind of slow over there. A few spotty fish, and it wouldn't surprise me to catch one at all, but there's just not that big of numbers over there. And it seems like you'll come across one here, one there, one here, and then you'll catch 10 in one spot, and then it's one here, one there. But the snook fishing over there, real good.
All right. Placida Pier, Placida Trestle, any reports from that area?
The pier is closed at the moment. They're repaved.
Both sides?
Nope, just this side. On the Boca Grande side, it's still open, but this side, they're actually putting in new asphalt to make it a safer little walk out there for people. You know, there are still people walking out on it because they're not exactly doing their due diligence to keep people off of it, but technically it's closed. I believe Josh said it was until the end of this month they were supposed to have it completely done. But if you're in a boat fishing up and down along the entire trestle system, which my nephew's been doing this past week, they're catching some mangrove snappers up to like 17, 18 inches on small pinfish. And he's been buying some of the frozen whitebait and chunking that up and doing really good on them, along with a few snook, you know, a couple of redfish that he's caught from underneath there. A gentleman came in the other day. He hooked a small hogfish. It was probably about 10 inches long. It was cool. The picture he had of it is just like, wow, that's just awesome when they're small like that. The colors and the fins sticking off the males. It's pretty impressive little fish.
All right. Let's go up to Stump Pass, Lemon Bay. Austin got that look like, I ain't got nothing.
I'm going to pass this one over to Robert.
Right.
He's got this.
I have not had much in the Lemon Bay part of it up until you get to Stump Pass.
I had faith in you, Robert.
No reports is actual.
We'll get to Stump Pass here in a few minutes.
I'd rather be honest, you know. I got better things to do than lie about it. I've only heard one report, it's kind of okay, but if I had at least two or three reports, at least there's a little bit of consistency there.
Anything from the pier there at Tom Adams Bridge?
Snook and tarpon at night. You know, a lot of guys standing out there catch and release. And you're hearing a mackerel during the daytime.
A few mackerel during the daytime, but my time would be to go at nighttime.
Yeah. It's during the daytime, that'd probably be about the only thing. I mean, he's heard of the mackerel, but I've only heard of the night fishermen out there.
All right. Tall and Goofy should be around so we could get a report from him.
Right.
Tall and
Scott, the one police officer, he fishes that a lot too, but I haven't seen him in a week.
Out in the Gulf of Mexico, any reports? Anybody been brave enough to...
Yeah. The handful of people that have been brave enough or goofy enough. All your nearshore reefs from like 3 miles out to about 12 miles have had scattered permit. A lot of barracuda, handful of cobia. Mangrove bites been good, but no real giant ones. Along with a few porgies, a few grunts. But there's been a couple guys that have been hitting out in like that 60 to 90 feet of water. And they're hooking a few kings and Spanish kind of all over the place, close to shore all the way out to offshore. But the kings are more consistent out there. But what's the right word for it? I don't even know. But basically, sailfish. Let's go with that. There's been a handful of guys hooking or seeing sailfish out there. You know, and that 60 feet of water is the two different ones that I've heard of. But I've also had a couple of guys that were out there in that goofy enough to run 30 miles out and get the snot beat out of them, the hook grouper and stuff, have been seeing sailfish swimming up to their boats, along with a couple peanut dolphin out there farther. So
yeah, you got to go about 30 miles to get that consistent grouper bite, don't you?
Yeah, the grouper bite's been kind of that way for the last several months. It seems like that 80 to 100 feet of water has been the ideal number.
Yeah, out there you drop down and it's like, oh, there's another keeper. If you're in about 15 miles or so, it's like, oh my God, a keeper grouper.
Yeah, exactly. It's an impressive feat at that point. But, you know, I would be concentrating myself on making sure that if I'm anchored up on any of the reefs, I don't care how close or far out I am, I'm going to have at least two flat lines out there, you know, just...
I like the pelagics like you do.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's something unusual because we just don't catch them very often.
Exactly.
You know, but April and May... usually with semi-consistency, you have a lot of these reports where the guys are seeing a sailfish or two coming up to their boat, or as they're running along, seeing a sailfish and going right by it as they're checking out schools of bait. So, but nobody's ever really ready for it. So when somebody does hook one or lands one, it's usually by complete luck, or they were smart enough to have a flat line out the back of the boat with a dead sardine drifting out there, or a live pinfish or something small under a bobber. Can't be too big, because even a bigger sailfish doesn't want to take a very big pinfish or a very big blue runner. It's got to be, you know, 3 or 4 inches at the most. So yeah, kind of, or a streamed line like Spanish sardines.
Let's go to the passes. Let's start with stump pass. You've got something for that.
The stump pass has been, there's been some really good sized whiting on the south side. They're still doing some dredging over there for setting up that jetty or whatever they're doing there, but I guess because of all the sediment that's stirring up, those bigger whiting have moved in there. A ton of snook are moving through there. A couple guys have been fishing out there at night, fishing for sharks and hooking a couple of big bull reds, in addition to a couple of small black tips. I haven't heard of any big sharks being caught by those guys, but they're hooking some big black tips, you know, 4 to 6 foot long.
That's a big black tip.
Yeah, I mean, for a black tip, that's a good size shark.
They pull pretty fast.
They're anticipating, you know, Moby Dick all the time when they're doing out there, but to catch, yeah, you know, it's relative to the species of the shark. I mean, a 4 to 6 foot black tip, that's awesome.
Anything, any of the other passes?
Boca Grande, kind of the same scenario going on. I haven't heard much for whiting down there, but the nighttime bite for some bigger redfish, some snook, some really stud-sized ladyfish have been being caught down there too at night. Like 2.5 feet long. Good sized fish.
There's even some tarpon there.
Yeah, there's a ton of tarpon there. Yeah. That's been the most abundant thing. You know. They've been in the past. They've been a little bit on the beaches yesterday. And then today there was some out on the beaches too and up on the hill, but the pass has been where everyone's concentrating on most of them.
If you go out to the beach and try to actually catch some snook or whatnot, I'd bring a couple of sabiki rigs with me too. And sometimes those threadfin schools will come in close enough to catch them on a sabiki rig. If you can catch those, that's how you'll catch the big snook out there breeding on the beach, a big hand-sized threadfin. That's a really good thing to do. And even big redfish and black-tip sharks will eat them. So they're definitely nice to have, but make sure you got an aerator and a bucket with you.
and only keep a couple, two or three in that.
Yep.
Yeah, you can, if they're 4 or 5 inches, you know, 3 to 5 inches, you can, with a regular little bait bucket we use for shrimp with an aerator, you can get a dozen or two in there. But if you get past 2 dozen, they're all going to die.
Two tops it out for me. I stick with about 10.
Yeah, you're better off with a dozen or less. But if you really push it, you could probably get 2 dozen in there. The one big problem when you put bait fish in a bucket like that is you got to dump the water out about every 5 minutes. And you got to do that like 3 or 4 times because it takes about 15 minutes. Because you've took this fish, netted it, threw it in a bucket, and you've scared the poop out of it.
Yep.
Literally scared
the poop out of it. So the ammonia spikes inside that bucket.
If you don't change that water out, I don't care if you got 8 or 10 of them in there, or 6 or 4, they're going to pollute that water up so bad that they're going to die. So you need to dump the water out, put new water in about every 5 minutes, and you have to do that at least 3 to 5 times. And whenever you think about it, change the water out, keep it fresh, and keep the aerator going that whole time.
Something I tell people, too, is I'd much rather have 8 live ones than 20 dead ones.
Yep. Absolutely.
And that's the smartest way to go, Austin.
You said it perfect. I mean, that's exactly the way it should be.
Yeah, that could be the difference between 8 fish or no fish.
Yep. Yeah.
Or having bait fish a year from now and no bait fish a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's just a very, very properly worded sentence.
Yep. Good going, Ken. You know, these young guys, every
once in a while, they throw you for a loop like, holy mackerel, he actually is smart.
Yeah, it's like...
I caught up on my reading last night.
That was good.
Okay. If you're going to go out walking along the beaches on the Gulf of Mexico, you know, you don't have a boat, you just want to go walk the beach and catch some fish. Any possible fish or places or anything?
The best report I've had has been Middle Beach, or right up there in between Manasota Beach and Inglewood Beach, and also Cayo Costa. Those have been the two beaches I've heard the most about in the last couple of days. Guys are catching some catch and release snook, a handful of smaller whiting. One guy got into actually a couple bluefish that were like 3 pounds there up in off of Inglewood Beach. He was there right at first light. He was actually walking along with his spinning and fly rod hoping to try to catch a tarpon. And I've heard of a couple of small sharks cruising up there. They've been black tips, except for the one off of Cayo Costa that I heard of. Besides his black tips, he caught like about a 7-foot lemon shark from the beach. Was completely ecstatic about that.
Hence the reason I only go waist deep in the water.
When I can see 100 yards every direction.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, it's like ankle maybe deep. Kneecap.
Yeah.
Maybe kneecap level.
I've seen enough big sharks.
But most of the time out there on the beaches, they usually stay out a little bit further unless it's right at twilight. Pretty safe. You know, the only thing I haven't heard about out there is...
I've seen you out there at noon, and you're not thinking pretty safe. You're like, no, I'm not going out.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying in general.
Yeah,
swim across the pass, Robert?
Nope.
Yeah, but I gotta, you know, it would have a little more validity if it wasn't coming from you.
I know, but I know that people are afraid of them, but I can play with a rattlesnake and they won't. So everyone's got their little bit of fears.
Yeah, okay. Let's push it down to Sanibel, Ponarasa.
The only thing I've heard about, honestly, has been the causeway right there. The causeway and those couple docks right around those hotels, condos. A lot of snook, catch and release. A good assortment of tarpon. The tarpon have been right mainly on the causeway itself. And then there's been a few trout, both silver and spotted trout, being caught there too. Those guys are catching them on the outside edge of the shadow line of the bridge, both day and night. I haven't heard much up inside that immediate area around those mangroves and stuff, but I'm guessing with what I'm hearing just a little further north, it should be about the same.
I don't know too much about going on what's over there. I mean, I don't get the chance to go over there much, and I haven't heard anybody talking about it. I know there's tarpon off the beach of Sanibel, but...
Knapp's Point. That's what I was just going to say. Off of Knapp's Point there on the southern end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tarpon fishing.
Some of the tarpon guys have been down there and doing well. Some of the bull sharks have been hammering those tarpon a little bit, and then they've been catching a few big permit mixed in with some of those tarpon.
Is that weird or what?
Yeah. Well, and how big was that one that Ozzy got last week?
Like 30, 40 pounds.
Yeah. While he was tarpon fishing off the beach, casting into a school tarp, and he got like a 30 to 40 pound permit.
Wow.
Yeah, that one didn't jump.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah. I guess they were doing it a little bit, according to Eric a couple weeks ago. They had hit 2 days in a row where they were hitting permit mixed in with the tarpon, but he hadn't seen that ever.
Big ones, too, though, like 30 pound permit.
Yeah. So, a little strange. It'd be fun.
I get people tell me all the time that have caught a permit that they'd rather catch a permit than a tarpon. He said they take longer to pull in than they do tarpon because they're so big and they use their side to...
Well, especially a 30 or 40 pounder. That would just be awesome.
Yeah, that's extremely high on my bucket list.
Yeah, I've never caught one. Never landed one.
All right. Down in the Coosahatchee, you've got a lot of tarpon in the river right now from the Cape Coral Bridge all the way on up to the train trestle. There is some possibility you're going to see tarpon up by the power plant with the little bit of rain and everything that we had. It might be taking them up there. But your much better numbers of tarpon are from Cape Coral Bridges up to like 41 and going back down that way as you get up to I-75 or the trestles up there. It's not as good. But snook fishing all along the whole seawall and on the Fort Myers side is really good. It's actually better than the northern side of the river, wherever you have the seawalls and stuff. As you get out towards the mouth of the river, right where it's hitting Sanibel down by Ponarasa, as soon as you come through that Slono Wake, if you go off to the left, there's a bunch of snook laying over there. And most of those islands are there around the flats. When the winds move up from the south-southwest, seems to be bringing a lot of snook up on the flats. They're cruising up under the mangroves as the waters drop down. Like tomorrow morning, the winds are going to be a little more out of the east. You're going to have to go around the bridges, somewhere else, find some deeper water spots. But as soon as that wind switches tomorrow afternoon, by later tomorrow afternoon, you're going to have just a gazillion snook all along the beaches and the mangroves down there.
That's pretty impressive. Did you get that report from some of the guys in the Fort Myers store when you were down there the other day?
Yeah, I've been talking to more people out of Fort Myers and trying to get that. Vinny's talking to more people. Greg's talking to more people. The client count, not so much the amount of money he's bringing in, but the client count, people are buying a lot more, getting more people in all the time, buying smaller items, you know, lures and hooks and leaders.
Those are some of the best ones to get the best fishing reports from, though.
But that's what's going on, and they're getting more and more guys that are very regular coming in all the time. They're starting to talk and chat with each other. Good. And so it's like anything else. Just take some time.
Right.
But
no, I just like the variety that you got there, so I wasn't sure if you were getting mixed stuff from everybody down there.
It's all from being in the Fort Myers store and talking to the guys working there and while I was down there the other day talking to customers. So
that's really cool.
I know. I'm enjoying the Fort Myers
store. Quit messing with your microphone, Mike.
Hey, it was about to fall out. I don't want it to hit the floor.
Yeah, well.
And when it hits the floor, it's not me throwing it and walking out of the room, I promise.
Okay. Let's take it up to Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey, all I've heard about is right off the Matt Lachey Bridge itself. They've been getting some decent mangrove snapper, handful of catch and release snook, and a couple of trout. Other than that, I haven't heard much around the immediate vicinity.
Neither have I.
No?
No.
Tim didn't go fishing down there looking for some redfish and miscellaneous stuff for the tournament?
We looked in a few spots. We didn't see much.
Okay.
All right. How about the outside of Pine Island out in Pine Island Sound?
Pine Island Sound's been incredible, actually. It's still like milk down there because of this weird wind. But right there around Captiva Rocks, guys are catching some nice-sized trout, a few incidental redfish. And then if you move up on the backside of the islands there, basically in front of them, what's that, the Spanish House? All those islands going out towards the sound seems to be holding better numbers of redfish, snook. There's even been a few tarpon in some of the deeper, real deep sand holes in some of the little channels there.
Mm-hmm.
And a mixed variety of sharks. Most of them are on the smaller side, like the black nose and Atlantic sharp nose. But they're catching those in those deeper troughs there on cut ladyfish. And live pinfish have been working exceptionally well for them down there, too.
That trough on the west side of Mondongo has got some nice trout in it right there on the outside where it drops into the ICW.
Oh, there you go. Those are good numbers, too?
Not extremely good numbers, but good ones. Good
quality fish.
Yeah, 20, 22, 24-inch trout.
That's not bad.
Even right on Mondongo on the, it'd be the north end of it. I like fishing that for redfish, and it's not like an every time you go out thing, but I've had some pretty incredible days there. It's got a nice set of potholes there in front of it, and it comes up real shallow, but I've done really well on redfish there, big ones.
Yeah, I had...
It's a hit or miss thing, though.
About 3 months where there's just nothing up on this end of the harbor, and I was traveling down to Pine Island Sound every day fishing and really had to learn it. And there's a captain down there named Bo Johnson, and Bo's a really... He's a really nice guy, but he fishes all that whole area, and he took me around the boat and showed me all kinds of stuff down there. I hadn't been down there since the 80s at that point. It'd been 10, 11 years since I'd really fished it much, and I ended up having to be there a lot. And there's some incredible stuff, but boy, you got to go slow, and you got
to There's some
attention.
Rocks. It goes from 10 feet to 1 foot right now.
I've watched it go 6 feet to 3 inches and launch my boat off of oyster barks. And
yeah, it's a scary area.
And you get a lot of like almost like lime rock shelf stuff coming
up. Limestone.
Yeah, limestone. It's a whole different ball game up here. But I'm not even worried about, you know, banging a boat up. You know, that's incidental. But if you're going slow, all of a sudden you see this deep hole just out of nowhere. Everything around you is 12, 14, 18 inches deep, as much as you can see. And then all of a sudden you
eight
come
foot.
Up and here, yeah, it's 8, 10, 12 feet of water. And it's a little hollowed out circle. And it's the craziest thing ever. But you're never, ever going to see that stuff going on plane across those flats. You got to go down there when you have time to really look around. But
literally one of my most favorite memories is you taking me down there and just scouting around and showing me all that stuff.
I was fortunate enough the first probably half a dozen times I fished Pine Island to fish it out of a little 16-foot Ranger Banshee with a tower on it, so we seen everything. That was really cool. Running the backside, all those islands, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, I held on a little bit when we went over some of those spots in that boat. It was scary how shallow those boats will run.
So right,
the worst feeling of scary is getting out, you know, like now when the water's really, really clear and being a tower for the first time. It literally looks like you're in
nothing.
3 inches of water and you're going a log. You will put dents in the aluminum holding on because it's you'll have finger grips.
When we were running it in there, I mean, we're driving by and you see a half a crab trap sticking out of the water. It's like, oh my God. You gonna slow down? No, go faster.
Oh, when I saw a half crab trap, I was fine. But when I looked over and I see the seagulls standing up.
And you see their knees?
Yeah, when you see the seagulls standing up, they're not swimming, they're standing, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's
you see the grass poking out of the water?
Yeah, been there. Lots of pushing involved in that. Okay, take us up to Burnt Store Two Pines area.
Burnt Store to Two Pines along the outside edge of the bar there. There's been a handful of tarpon, a good mixed number of sharks, and then on the inside up along the bushes, still got a lot of those snook that are moving their way out towards the passes. The afternoon bite's been producing some fair numbers of redfish, and I've even heard of a couple of trout, but not any numbers or size.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of a mixed gamut. That afternoon sea breeze has been making it tough for some of our, you know, wade fishermen that like to wade down there, because that sea breeze has been cranking in the afternoon right along that shoreline.
Yeah, it gets to be about 2 o'clock. I'm looking right now. I want to have the boat fired up and heading back at 1 o'clock, because by 2 o'clock, I want to be somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's either that or you're going to have to wait till 5.
Yeah.
Because between 2 and 5.
But even lately, that 5 o'clock hasn't mattered. This whole last week, that wind's been cranking until well after dark.
Yeah.
It's been weird. We've had some shark fishermen out there on the beaches trying to night fish, and they're like, I gave up after 10 o'clock because it was still 2 and 3 footers crashing on the shore. I couldn't do anything.
Let me tell you something that's deceiving, too, is when you look at your tide chart the night before and it's a 1.5 foot tide, but you don't realize it was blowing 15 out of the harbor, blowing all the water out of the harbor, and get up and the tide's too low to run where you want to run.
Or either in or out. And like tomorrow, the winds are starting out of the east, which blows all the water out of here. Then switching around to the west by afternoon, it's going to start out, you know, 5 to 8 miles an hour in the morning out of the east, and then by afternoon it's supposed to be 10 to 15 out of the west, and then throw the sea breeze in on top of that, you're talking 10 to 20.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, east side of the harbor from Pirate Harbor North, what's going on?
I mean, there's a ton of snook over there. The snook fishing just seem to be really, really good right now, but a lot of small ones. I mean, it's unreal how many people are just going out there and wrecking the snook out there. And the red fishing's been kind of slow up here. I mean, the best red fishing seem to be down towards Pine Island, but there's spotty fish, and a lot of them are like 4 or 5 pounders, 22 to 25 inches. But, I mean, you shouldn't have to go too far over from each island to catch a snook. But I think live bait would be your best friend, like a live shrimp on a float or a pinfish or an artificial. Yeah. Or white bait if you can get it.
Yeah, if you could find some. All right, Alligator Creek. Anything happening up in the creek? Anybody been up there?
There's been a few jacks up there where it starts to fork off to go to the right to Burnt Store Isles. And a couple juvenile tarpon. And, again, a couple catch-and-release snook. But overall, it's been kind of quiet.
Yeah, I've heard kind of quiet in there, too. A few snapper in there. A few nice snapper.
Well, it's not too bad. Are they still dredging over there? I haven't had anyone tell me if they finished it yet or not.
Yeah, they're up inside the creek. They're not on the outside no more, but they're definitely still dredging.
Gotcha.
They're just in from that restaurant in there.
Okay.
Last time I seen them, anyway.
All right, how about Ponce de Leon?
Ponce de Leon's had some few black drum. The mangrove snapper bite's actually been a little bit better this week. Still a lot of small guys, but a couple guys have got some 12 and 13 inchers out of there. And then the jacks have been coming through kind of sporadically, mostly in the early mornings, working the shoreline on the opposite side of Ponce.
Yeah, the mosquito ditches and all that.
Yeah.
All right. PGI canals. What's going back in the canals?
Juvenile tarpon galore.
Unhungry juvenile tarpon galore.
Aggravating.
There you
juvenile
go.
Tarpon.
How do you spell aggravating?
A G G R E V A T I N G. I think.
I seen you looking it up, Robert.
Uh huh.
Okay. Aggravating tarpon all throughout the canals.
And I'll be honest with you, from what I've seen, and I don't know what you've heard or seen, but after about 9 o'clock in the morning, they slow their rolling down.
Big time.
It's really hard to come across them. I mean, like you get out there at 9 o'clock in the morning, you'll never know where they're at.
Yeah.
It'll be like it's a ghost town. Daybreak.
Or right before no-see-em time.
Yeah, and I personally don't like the evening even half as good as I do the morning.
Well, this time of year, morning's better. It's the coolest point of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is getting out there before daylight, you got so many no-see-ems and bugs all through there that it's ungodly. And right as the sun starts coming up, if you can idle there in the dark, and because the ramp's closed, you can't get in at Ponce. You got to leave from Lashley, come up around, and just take your time and get on those canals very, very first thing in the morning. Heard the turnaround canal had some big tarpon in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go through Colony Point and just go through those, watch for the jacks, the tarpon, everything's back in there right now. It's crazy.
Especially when you get out there first thing in the morning, a lot of times you'll see they won't roll till a certain part to where you can start seeing in front of you and all that. They'll start rolling, and then you'll start fishing them and catching them, and they'll just shut off rolling. But if you fish them, you can still catch them. Just know the area where they were at.
All right. What about Gilcrest Pier?
Been a few jacks there in the morning, and I've actually had two guys catch small black, or starry. I'm going to say they were bull sharks. They said they were black tips, but for as much as I've been hearing about little baby bulls up here, that's going to be my more accurate guess.
Yeah, I just saw a picture today.
He had a black tip.
Yeah, exactly.
A kid who caught a black tip, but it was a bull shark.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay. We're actually out to the Alligator Creek Reef.
Alligator Creek Reef's been a little quiet this week. I've heard of a couple short cobia and a couple of Spanish mackerel, but overall people are kind of, I think so many people are going out targeting the tarpon and the sharks in the bottom harbor about by Boca that I think they're avoiding it just a little bit. So I don't think it's necessarily a lack of fish. I think it's just a more or less a lack of fishermen.
Yeah, it's more than possible. Yeah.
Drive around out there. There's not a lack of fishermen. Trust me.
But I'm talking about to get fishing reports from, you know what I mean?
I'm just messing with you.
Okay. Going out towards the deep holes.
There's been some sharks out there in the deep holes, but it's like one day they're in the lower middle, whatever you want to call it, the middle 20-foot hole, and then the next day they're down by the harbor hole. There's been a couple of oddball tarpon cruising around out there, some Spanish mackerel, tons of catfish, and a couple of guys have actually caught a couple of triple tail off of just floating miscellaneous debris out there as they've been running around or looking for other fish and going, hey, there's a coconut. Oh, what is that underneath there?
Not another coconut.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a tasty coconut.
Guy just called here a little bit ago. We don't hear enough about triple tail, so it's one of those things where I don't memorize the bag limit. And I actually had to look it up for the guy because he had two.
Yeah,
and he couldn't remember if it was
11 or 12 inches.
15 inches.
15 inches.
Oh, yeah, they moved it up. Yeah. 15 inches and how many per person?
Two per person.
Gotcha.
He had a 24-incher and an 18-incher. He knew the size, but he couldn't remember the bag. And I was
good
like,
thing he stopped there.
I had to look it up. And well, he had just caught it, so it was still sitting in his boat. You know, he was getting ready to let it go just in case because he couldn't remember how many was allowed. Which is cool, you know, but I like getting stumped too every now and then, on a regular basis. Actually, I don't mind it at all, but because it's one of those fish you don't hear about very often, you don't necessarily memorize it. I mean, I can ask you what trout is or snook or redfish, and we can all three answer it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a couple of those other species that just aren't super common.
Yeah.
We might know the length, but we might know the bag limit or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. What about bait fish? Any bait fish around anywhere?
Very few.
Yeah.
Very few. The thread fins are out in the harbor in some of the deeper holes, but they're staying down. They're not showing themselves nearly as much.
You know, the weird thing is, it's hard to catch a thread fin on a sabiki rig in the harbor.
In the clear water right now, you can.
Yeah,
but
in a couple
weeks when it starts to get tannic, they, for some reason, don't like sabikis in that tannic water.
It's weird.
Yeah. The white bait that I've been hearing about has been a little bit down by Jug Creek. Most of it's been over towards Placida and right out along the beaches if you can fight the wind a little bit to get out there and find them.
If you're able to get it, too, mind you only need a 5-6 dozen of them.
Yeah, but I want to go out and catch a 50 little peanut snook today, so don't I need both my live wells blacked out?
You need all three.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I got three live wells.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
Put just enough in there to where they're really weak and start dying on you.
Yeah. Then you don't have to worry about crumbling them up and throwing them in a bucket to throw out there.
Exactly. Okay. You can dump them at the ramp.
How about pinfish?
Pinfish. There's been some good pinfish right there by Marker 5. Some better ones starting to show up out there on Cape Hayes itself. And then down there by Boquilla in those deeper grass flats, I think is probably the best bet for mixed sizes from, you know, quarter size up to 4 inches.
Devilfish is full of them too.
Starting to see a lot more of the what is that, the pigfish?
Yep, grunts.
The pigfish and grunts are mixed in with them a lot too, so that's pretty cool when you can always throw out there and catch a couple other varieties of things. Even a couple guys have caught those green wrasse. They look like a parrotfish.
Mm-hmm.
A couple guys have taken pictures of those. I caught this in my cast net. What is this thing? I thought it was a parrotfish, but I don't know. We have that fish here called a green wrasse. They get about, I don't know, I think they top out at like 12 or 14 inches.
Yeah,
ladyfish around anywhere?
Ladyfish have been on the outside of the bar down from Pirate Harbor down towards Burnt Store a little bit. And then right basically at the mouth going into Turtle Bay have been the only two spots I've heard of with semi-consistency.
Nothing consistent from what I'm hearing. Nothing consistent at all. The tarpon are finding them all.
Right, something is.
Yeah.
It's been a little tough on the ladyfish.
It has.
But there also hasn't been that much bait around, so kind of goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find the bait, you'll usually find some ladyfish mixed in with them.
Now, where were we just talking about? Was it on the tailing flats with the, or
nope.
Is up in Bull Bay with
nope.
the giant ladyfish?
At night fishing? Off the beaches.
Oh, night off the beach.
Yeah, okay. Out there off of Boca and Captiva, basically close to the passes at night. They've been catching those real studly ones.
Okay. All right. Freshwater reports.
Find water. If you can find water in a dip net, you're in good shape.
Okeechobee.
That's even debatable.
Somewhere in there.
The only reports I've had have been a couple of the canals over in Northport and like Nine Mile Canal. Some guys are still using some shiners, especially fishing by the little locks or levees, because that's the only spot that seems to have deep enough water on them. You know, I haven't heard much of anything else, though.
I like that spot a lot. I like the 9 Mile and the locks and all that. My favorite time to fish them, though, is in the afternoon rain. If it's not lightning out, that light drizzle, even right before it. But I like fishing right through it, and normally happens around 5 or 6 o'clock. So you can fish that 5 or 6 o'clock till 7:30 when the sun goes down, or 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's the best time to catch them, especially if you want a big one.
Yeah. And then when you start getting just at the beginning of those rainy seasons, when you're finally getting some water flowing over them.
The spillways, yeah.
Yeah. As it comes over some of those levees, it's pretty impressive. So I'm going to say in the next several weeks, hopefully, if we go into our normal rainy season, and right now as dry as it is, if we get those really good frog choker rains, you're going to have a couple of the culverts that are going to flow just a little bit, but it's only going to be for a very, very short period of time.
Right through the rain.
Yep. Exactly.
Perfect time.
Exactly. Very small windows.
Okay. That kind of rounds out the report here. Anything else that we need to talk about?
Not that I can think of. I mean, just right now, the key thing is it's getting hot. Pay attention to not get dehydrated. If you take a dog with you, please make sure that you got plenty of shade or leave them at home. And then also be prepared for everything right now. Take a snook pole with you. Take a tarpon rod with you. Take a small shark rod with you. Because, I mean, there's so much starting to go on out there right now.
It's amazing. But I've been putting, working with people on rods and reels and stuff. And last night, I bet you 6-8 different people. Today, I've already done several. A lot of people looking for rod-specific use, you know, comfort rods, all the different stuff. Trying to find people rods that will catch tarpon plus still be okay for big snook or cobia, you know. There's just a lot of people looking for specialty stuff now.
Right.
And like the guy in today, well, yeah, I'll take that. And I show him another one. Yeah, that's good. And you go over and you put some weights on him. He goes, no, this one's way better. He says, I would have thought the other one was. And it's literally, one after the other of, and which is wonderful. I mean, it's amazing that many people buying rods and or reels or whatever. But it's finding that one out of the group for them that's been very challenging, and actually a lot of fun, but it's really been challenging here the last few days.
Right.
The number of people coming in. B, the range of stuff they're doing is incredible.
This guy wants just snook and redfish. This guy wants something for tarpon, shark, and cobia. This guy wants something for offshore.
Just tarpon or just this or just that. It's really incredible how much people are, you know, once you start talking to them, how you get it defined and figure out what they're going to do and then work with them on doing it. Advertisement portion of our show here, Fish and Franks has the Experience store here in Port Charlotte and has the actual Fish and Franks Experience. It is no boutique. All the sight, sounds, and smells of a real bait shop. On the other hand, ladies, if you're in the Cape Coral, Fort Myers area, you're looking for fishing stuff for your husband, anybody will tell you our guys are the best there is. Go in and ask. You're going to love that store. It's embarrassingly clean, nice, neat, and organized. And there's it actually smells nice, looks nice. It's kind of a boutique, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
The women coming in there absolutely love that store. I was talking about with a customer this morning. Somebody had approached me at the Fort Myers Boat Show, and they're going, you know, we've got to get more women involved in fishing, and, you know, you need to do this and help us get women involved in this. And I'm looking around the store today, and for 2 hours this morning, women outnumbered men in this store, literally, I would say
2 to 1.
Yeah, pretty close.
It was either 2-1 or 1-1. I mean, there was an even number or a little bit better than an even number.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say 5 women to every 3 to 4 guys in this store. And at one point, I looked around. There was at least 12 women in the store picking lures, working with somebody, tying knots, doing whatever was going on. I was working with them. And it's staggering how... Some people still think it's the 1950s and that women don't do this stuff. I don't know what's wrong with it.
I don't know either.
Like, we got to help women get it. Are you kidding me? Most of these women are better than the guy they're with or fish more than they do. I don't know. I guess,
we need more places that don't deter it.
Well, I just never noticed a difference. Austin, a person comes through the door, whether it's they're 5 or 6 years old, or 90 years old, male, female, there's no difference. Just somebody coming through the door. You ask them what you need, and can you help them, and what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I mean,
there's no prejudices. It's just you're walking in the door. We want to help you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get how I'm beginning to understand the rest of the world out there. It's a bit weird.
This bubble is really nice sometimes.
Yeah, Do you notice that, Austin? You go out into the real world away from the store, and
then I go back to my corner.
It surprises me sometimes how strange the world has gotten out there. Yes, boys and girls, I am firmly rooted in the 70s. You're not getting me out of it. I'm too old, too weird, too grumpy. I ain't changing. This is the way I'm going to do it, and this is the way we're going to do it. So I look at it this way. They can have all of the world, just not this one little unit and this one little parking lot. We'll keep that for us. All right.
Exactly.
And our people. Anyway, I guess that's about it for Radio Fishing today. Anything else you guys can think of?
I think we covered most of it.
Well, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I'd say pretty lackluster applause. I don't know. That didn't sound like a whole cheering section for there. But anyway, yeah, that is Fishing Frankie Couture here. And Robert Couture across from me. And in the guest spot today is Captain Austin. And this has been a elongated Area Fishing Report. And I guess we'll say goodbye, Austin.
Have a good one, guys. Tear them up.
Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
I told you, even he's stuck in the 70s. So we will see you guys there. Talk to you guys on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.